Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, good morning. How are we doing? Good. How about you? Good. Well, let's see if we can get back on track here. I remember what I was doing here. Let me take you back to the last time we had Sunday school. I don't expect you to remember anything, okay? That ship has sailed. But it's been, I guess, at least a month and a half, probably, something like that. Okay. Thank you for understanding of what we had, what we were doing, what we needed to do, and thank you for working with us, allowing us to be able to divert things and make a few changes. And again, I know how much you all love to change, so that's wonderful. Yeah. The last time we met, I got to go back because what I'm going to do today kind of ties into it a little bit. We're talking about the changes God makes. And there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Lord's Spirit, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And this whole theme, why does God come into your life? To set you free, right? That's what He's all about. He wants you to live in freedom. So all of us who've had the veil removed can see the glory of the Lord. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. What God wants to do in your life is change you. And you need to be changed. Alright? So that's what He wants to do. Last time we met, we talked about how that we are all people kind of addiction. Because we all have these issues in our life that we get hooked on, habits that we make, some good, some bad, that tend to control us and to tend to direct our lives. And unless we break free from that, we're always going to be the same. And it can be as much as a way of thinking that you've had ever since you've been a kid. It can be as much as, well, this is my pattern in life. You know, you wake up in the morning, I do this, I do this, I do this, and don't anybody dare break my routine. You know, I come to church, I sit in this seat, don't sit in my seat. Okay? I'm here, this is mine. Don't make me move this, don't make me change. And so what happens is, we have ways of living that would be classified pretty much as a big deal, that sometimes work against us changing. And we have to break a routine. We have to break a way of thinking. We have to break a way of acting. We have to break a habit that we need to do. And that's not easy to do. So, kind of tied into that, there is something else that drives this and is maybe just as bad, as critical as understanding of that process. This is who I am. I tend to be a pretty person who likes my routine. And you understand when God comes into your life, He comes in to break your routine. And thus, a lot of people, they want to accept Christ, but they don't want to change how they live. Because I've always done this thing, and that creates issues. So today what we're going to talk about is how we have to go from a mess to a masterpiece. So what you can do is turn to the person next to you and say, you're a mess. So what happens is, what transpires is, as you go through life, you develop attitudes that come out of your hurts and out of your fears. And you become fearful, you become angry, you become bitter, because the circumstances of life are never neat and tidy. Everything isn't just this way. And so bitterness, resentment comes in, and we become guarded, we become afraid, we become withdrawn. and it just becomes messy. And we live with the mess that life has brought into us. Now, some of this is there simply because we expect life to be different. We don't expect life to be messy. We expect it to be perfect. We expect it to be easy. Thus, people become Christians and go, "Why am I serving God? Why is life so hard? If I'm going through this, why is all this happening?" And so what you and I have to come to understand is God is at work, and so is Satan. And he does everything he can to make a mess of our lives because you and I live in a messy world. This world's a mess. Right? We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? But do you understand that inside of you many times it's a mess? Just as messy. Now, here's the deal. You can't do much about changing this outside mess, but why do we so resist changing the inside mess? We learn to live with it. We learn to excuse it. We learn to tolerate it. We learn to say, well, it's just the way I am. We learn to cover it up. We learn to adjust. Well, I've lived with this all my life. I'm okay. And we just do that. And that mess that's there in our lives because of the conflict that's going on is not just in us, it's a mess in the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 there. Against its will. Boy, that's a great phrase. It's going to talk about creation. That's us. All of creation. That's you and me, right?
Amen.
Against our will. It's not really what we wanted to happen. Was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation, that's us and everything else created, has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, what are those pains of childbirth going on in our world today? Hurricanes? Fires? Earthquakes, groanings. The world is there. It's going through the devastation, you know, and it waits for the day when God will clear up this mess that you and I have to deal with. And it correlates to childbirth. Wow. So how do we deal with that? Now, here's the deal. God's not afraid to answer your questions. But sometimes we're afraid to ask them because we're afraid of the answers. Because this is the way we are, this is what we do, and I don't understand, and I'll be okay. So how do I become a master? How do I get from mess to mastery? How does that happen? So let's walk through that. Number one, understand that we live in a messy world. Here's the deal. You and I see life. We call it a worldview. How do we see life? It's called your worldview. We see life through those things that have happened in our life. We interpret life through our experiences. And that tends to determine how we view what life is like. Something happens to you when you're young. Something happens to you earlier in life. Suddenly, from that point on, you tend to look at everything according to what happened to you. What deal? What is the deal with that? And so you and I have to understand that if life is a mess, we tend to interpret life from the mess, don't we? Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So I have to understand, why is the world in a mess? Sin, right? Why do I struggle with the mess in me? Sin, right? So I live in a messy world. Why do I expect it to be perfect? Oh, I don't expect it to be perfect. Yes, you do. Illustration. You have this person you're talking to, and they start to say something to you that you don't like. They touched a nerve. They said something that triggered a thought back to your childhood. They say something that you thought was unfair, unright, unkind, cruel. And what do? You look at them and think, well, how could they be that way? Oh, that's horrible. I never want to talk to them again. If that's what they think and the way they look, then I'm not going to have anything to do with them. Why? We expect them to be perfect. Right? And unfortunately, when they act like the mess that they are, we tend to reject them. But we want everybody to accept the mess we are. And we see their mess, we just don't see ours. And we think ours is different than theirs. And rather than looking at them saying, you know what? That's just who they are. That's the way they are. Their issues are there. I just need to accept that and go on with life and not let it affect me, not let it change my thought of them, not let it change my way of looking at them, because all they're doing is acting like a sinner. And we all are. Okay. Maybe I jumped into the Sunday school thing too quick and too deep right away. Okay, I should have maybe been a little gentler at the beginning and kinder or whatever else. So it's there. And so Adam and Eve sin, and God doesn't give up on them. He says, look, the world's going to be a mess now. Because of what you've done, because of what sin has done, this is how it's going to affect creation. This is how it's going to affect you. But I still want you to live in this world. I want you to multiply and fill the earth. And I want you to rule on this earth just like I rule in heaven. And I'll use you in spite of your mess. But see, we haven't fully grasped it. This does sound horrible. You might ban me out here on this. I am just constantly amazed at how much we complain about the world we live in. Oh, this world, all the United States, all the bread, all this. What do you expect? They're acting like sinners. It's a mess. And we live in a messy world. And the sooner we understand that, the easier it will be for us to deal with our mess. Because, again, you turn to the person next to you, you're a mess. And we live in a messy world. Okay?
Hold on.
In this world, it gets messy.
Just a minute. He's working.
It's okay.
There he goes.
How's that? Try that.
This world, it gets messier until Jesus comes and takes care of everything and straightens it all out.
Right.
We're not going to straighten it out.
Nope. We're not going to. We have a full-time job in trying to straighten out us. It's easier to complain about them. It's easier to blame the other people. It's easier to take, they're like that, they're this way, than it is for us to look in the mirror and say, I'm a mess. And it has more to do with more than just how my face look and the makeup. I'm a mess. And so I shouldn't be shocked when other people act like they're a mess. Because we live in a messy world. That's Bible. Right? Okay. So that means we accept each other as we are. And as we are, it is a mess. Yes, Miss. We don't need to go there. That's not going to happen.
I took it off my faith. I wouldn't depend on God to help me get out of
Cool. I'm going to go there in a moment. Just hold on, okay?
Wonderful minds think the same.
So busted.
Turn the page, brother.
Key number two. That's one. Number two. God is closer than we think. Here's the deal. God is never far from you. God is always with you. Now you see, sometimes in our mess and in the mess of this world, you look at what's going on in the world and you think, God, where are you? And sometimes when you're dealing with your messes, you're wondering, God, where are you? And we forget. He's right here. He's right here. You know. Acts 17:26. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God, and notice, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. So why do problems come? So that you will seek God. Because he's right there. It's this way. People who, without God, let's say, people who just kind of live their life and do everything, are very happy with how they live and what they do until they get into a crisis. And then suddenly, would you pray for me? Yeah. You know, then suddenly, okay, I need some help. Yes, I've made a mess. Would you ask God to help me? And so God says, look, I'm going to use the mess that this world is in and the mess that you're in, and I'm going to use that to bring you close to me. So where is God in the midst of this messy world that messes up our lives? He's in the background orchestrating the nations, peoples. He says he created it all. Nations is more than just Iraq, Iran. It's people. And the Lord, he decided beforehand when they'll rise and fall. He determined their boundaries. He determines where things are to go. What's he doing that for? That they'll seek after God. Because you know what? We really don't seek after God as we should until we get into a mess. And then we get the mess, oh, I really need God, I really need to do this, I really need to get back together, I really need to get back, I need to do all of this. And so he knows us well enough to know that we tend to be a people who think we've got everything together, we're okay, and the habits and addictions that I have aren't hurting me, and so it's all right, I can just keep being this way. And God says, I don't think so. And he says, I'm going to help you. And I'm going to create and allow in your life things to happen so that you will turn to me. And when you turn to me, you don't have to go far because I'm right there. Yes, sir.
Can I give an illustration?
Oh, sure.
I don't scuba dive. Does anybody here scuba dive? So you see, not many people. Okay, so what do you wear on your back? What do you wear on your back when you scuba dive? You have to go down with the tanks. You have to have a tank on your back. And you go down low. You go down to what you want. You can never endure the pressure of the water without that tank. As believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
Which helps us to endure far more pressure than we could ever endure on our own. So acknowledge the anointing that His presence is with us, critical for you to know. I could not endure this except for the power of God to help me go through this. He is like the scuba tank, you know, the oxygen that keeps you breathing. He's spiritually breathing. When you knew that you could not endure this on your own power, it was not meant for you to endure it. him and Silas to face those things, trusting in him and his presence.
You're just trying my patience, folks.
I know.
In reality, you really never have to ask God, why is this happening to me? You really never do. Because I'll tell you why it's happening to you. God wants you to get closer to Him. And He's close. He wants to clean up. God creates messes. God allows messes so that He can clean up a mess.
And who wants us to ask why?
And y'all want to know why. God says, here you are. I'm going to use this to help you.
And the bottom line is, we have a choice.
Right. We always do. We always have a choice. So, that means key number three, throw a party in the pit. Okay? Throw a party in the pit. Since God uses these things to help us, to grow us, to use us, we should celebrate when they come around. You know? I'm going to use the verse a little later, but let me go in here. That's why the Bible says, when you get into these, right, count it joy. Right? Because God's working.
But yes. We don't count it joy for the
pit. I don't count it joy for the pit, or for the problem, or for the mess. I just understand God is going to work here. There's a reason God's doing this, and it's always for my good.
Yes.
He wants to use it. The clearest symbol. Go ahead.
There's no way. Naomi would say he wants to take it deeper.
Take it deeper. There's the easiest illustration here is that of a pearl. And maybe you've heard it before, maybe you know this, but just in case you don't, a pearl is made when a foreign object, sand, something bitter, some hard, gets inside the oyster. And that creates a wound inside the oyster. So the oyster is wounded. And in the response, the oyster's defense mechanism begin to operate. And they release a substance called nacre. N-A-C-R-E. That's what it's called. And it coats, puts a coating around that irritant. It takes it, coats it, makes it so that irritant doesn't irritate, doesn't hurt, doesn't do the wound, and it just keeps coating that layer after layer after layer to keep it from hurting the oyster and to remove the pain. And the oyster will live like that for 7 or 8 years. And what's the lifespan of an oyster? 7 or 8 years. Yeah. And in the shell, left alone. And so, when you open that oyster up, that irritant coated with all that thing is called a pearl. Inside of you is a mess. God wants to bring His healing power into your life and coat it. And coat it. And heal you from it. And help you from it. You get wounded. You get hurt. What do? You take it out on somebody, don't you? And many times you take it out on yourself. That's so stupid. I wish I didn't have that back. I wish I hadn't done that. God says, look, I understand. You're a human. You're living a messy world. You're a mess. I understand what's going on. But I'm going to work in the midst of this, and I will use it for my good. Thus we say, everything works out together for good. But you see, we don't want to be a mess, and we don't like it, and we think it's unfair, and we think it's wrong. But unfortunately, you were born into a world that's messy. And all of creation is a mess. And you've got to live with the messes of life. And God says, I got a plan. You're going to have to deal with life, but I'll be right there beside you. And you don't have to do this alone. And I'll take the hurts of your life, and I'll make something beautiful out of it. And thus the writer says he makes everything beautiful in its time. Problem is for us, in its time is now. But God, a little bit down the road.
I'm a bigger mess at one time. I was messier than I am now.
Yep.
Because when Jesus Christ came in my life, he took care of the mess.
Yep.
And along the road, he continues to sanctify my life and help me to be less of a mess. So we aren't as messy as, maybe as you said, we're less messy because
we're not as messy as we were,
right.
But we're still messy.
We're still a mess, but not messier.
No, not messier. But a mess.
Less mess.
Either way, slice of mess is a mess. Yeah, there's some that are messier than others. So it's there. So God says, look, you live in a messy world. We're not going to deny. The Bible never denies that, does it? In fact, the Bible is very affirming. Sin entered the world through one man. You've all sinned. Sin is still having that heyday. Sin is still at work. Sin is still there. Sin makes messes. That's all it does. So it's unleashed on this world. And God says, look, I understand it's there, but understand it. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God says, I'll be there. I'll help you. Now why don't you learn that when you're going through stuff, rather than throwing the pity party, rather than feeling sorry for yourself, rather than trying to ask all the questions that you're not going to get answers to, why don't you just learn to celebrate me in the midst of it? And know that I'm working for your good. Because, key four, you turn tragedies into triumphs. I want to say this, but to say it. What I have found is that perhaps the greatest barrier for Christians to grow is their hurts and their fears. They've had something happen to them in life, and they're unwilling to release it, they're unwilling to forgive it, they're unwilling to let it go. They take it personally, they hold on to it. They talk about it not being fair. They try to get even. And anytime you do that, all you do is make your life more of a mess. God says, look, I don't want you to take this and make it something bad. The enemy wants to use it for your worst. Your life, mess it up more, right? Hello? Okay. And so he says, you turn tragedy into triumph. Here's what you need to know. Suffering accelerates spiritual maturity. You look at any of the people in the Bible that God uses. Moses, Abraham, Joseph, David, Job, Noah. All of them had to go through a bitter, horrible circumstances. God puts them in deserts. God leaves them alone for years. They do something. They have to run for their life. God lets it happen. Why do you think we should be any different? Because God still works this way. Your future in life is basically determined by your choices that you make when you're in a mess. Make the wrong choice, you mess up your life for a long time. Make the right choice, life isn't as messy as what it could be. And so, suffering accelerates spiritual maturity. James 1:2, here it is. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now notice, it's an opportunity. You choose whether it's going to be an opportunity for joy or an opportunity for a bigger mess. For you know that when your faith is tested, in other words, are you going to trust God with this? Are you going to turn to God for this? your endurance has a chance to grow. In other words, you become stronger. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect, complete. Now, that doesn't mean perfect as we think of perfect. The word, better word here is whole. You'll be complete. That's the better word there, meaning nothing. In other words, you'll be the person that God created you to be and wants you to be. And so I have to understand that when I'm going through time, it's for my good. And I can either make life horrible and be discouraged and down all the time because this isn't fair, this isn't right, try to run away from my problems, try to, you know, blame other people for my problems, or I can say, God, you know what? I'm going through this and you're going to help me grow up. And here's the term we use sometimes, you know what? When you're going through a hard time, put on the big boy pants and go on.
Right.
Now, grow up.
Get over
it. Go on. Learn. Secondly, our disappointments are appointments. Our disappointments are appointments. In other words, there is never anything in your life that happens to you that takes God by surprise. Well, then why did you let it happen? For your good. It doesn't feel so good. Well, you can either get better or you can get bitter. You either learn the lesson or you just keep going over it, learning the same lesson all your life. Hold on to that addiction, that habit. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Well, yeah, I'm a mess, but I'm not as big a mess as everybody else, and I'm okay. And they don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what's happened to me. You don't understand how this is happening. You can hold on to that all you want. But there is an opportunity for joy. And God says, I'm here to help you be better. And that's the truth. It's not like the government that says we're here to help you. Okay? God is here. I'll stay close by you. I'll help you. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Now notice, of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Not your purpose, His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. For God knew His people in advance. Writer Psalms put it this way, in my mother's womb, you knew me. You knew me. You knew how I was going to be born. You knew what I was going to be with. You knew what you wanted to do with me. He chose them to become like His Son. I want you to become like me, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And see, what we see as unfair is God letting us down, as devastating. God sees as a path to correction and the necessary steps to getting us where He needs us to be. Because when everything's going well, we don't want to change. Don't move. It might change. I don't know. But when things go bad, we're more open to listening to God and more doing it. I'll do whatever it takes to get out of this. Good. Everybody still with me? You got to go quiet. Okay? And so we have to understand that God's always there. God's always working. He's got an appointment. He says, I haven't forgotten you. And let me just be honest with you. Sometimes I wish He would. I just wish He'd leave me alone and quit bringing messes into my life. Right? I just wish, God, okay, we're good right now. We're good. No? But He keeps saying, well, you're still a mess. You're not as bad as you were. But we can still be better because God is always, next point, God is always working to build character. God will never be satisfied until your life becomes like Christ. He's more concerned with character than comfort. So He says, we're going to work on this because this is why I made you. I made you to be my children. I want you to take on my characteristics. I want you to become like your father. You don't understand that because there's a lot of you in this room that have spent your whole life trying not to be like your father. trying not to be like your mother. God says, I want you to be like me. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's with freedom He sets you free. So all of us who have the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord with the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Now, we've already read that this morning. It sounds familiar. I think it does. So what's He doing? He's making us like it. He's not making... God's not in the business of changing the mess in the world. He's in the business of changing the mess in the people. And He's using the nations so that people will turn to Him. Philippians 1:10. I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Yes? Well, what? The creation being the created things we see in the earth? No. No, it will not change. This earth is on that course. And in reality, we're going to spend our whole life still changing. Because there is a thought among a lot of people that have had its day, it's not as prevalent as what it once was, that, you know what, if the church or if the Christians would just rise up and be the Christians, then we would take over the earth and we would now have this kingdom on earth. That's not going to happen. That's not the way it works.
So creation is accelerating the disaster.
Right. That's correct. That's correct. Just as you and I are decaying every day. Nothing's going to change the fact that one day we're going to die. We're going to be as righteous as we need to be, but we're not going to keep living. Because that's heaven. But while we're living, we're called to be the people God wants us to be. Okay? Answer the question.
Why do we have to
learn
about
it? Yeah. The earth is destroyed.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Yeah. Because there is that way of thinking sometimes. We think it has this effect, but it, no, it doesn't.
Because I understand
right.
Creation itself.
Right. We have the hurricanes and that because of. Yep. Key 5, and I need to hurry here. Know the truth. Know the truth. In other words, this is the truth. I can lie to myself, I can lie to people, but here's the truth. I'm not going to change it. Okay? This is the truth. Romans 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. There's that word again in a different place, right? It talks about rejoicing when we're running the boat. We know that they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Thus, the progression I put at the end of your notes. Suffering, the mask, produces endurance. I have to keep going, never give up. Another word for that is patience. Endurance develops character. As I keep being faithful to God, doing what's right, God keeps changing me to make Him more and more like Himself. And I will need to be changed every moment of my life, until the day that I die, I will still be working to become more like Christ. So endurance produces character. That character, when I live like that, that gives me hope. I don't become negative, I become positive. Because I know God's faithful and God's going to work. And that hope, as the writer just said there, produces an awareness of God's love. And that's a great thing to have, isn't it?
Amen.
So, we're all a mess. The world's a mess. But God works in our life because He loves making masterpieces out of messes. It's good news, isn't it? Okay. See you next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.